Praise the Lord. That was good. That was good. Go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. That was a blessing. I remember standing on these same stairs singing out. I was usually a kid on the end with his shirt untucked, falling down halfway through the song. And that was in high school during pilots. That was a rough part. But no, I love it. I love it. I love it. James chapter 4, if you've gotten there, you can stand if you're able. James chapter 4. And I'll read aloud as you read silently. We'll start in verse 13. Read down to the end of the chapter. It says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now we rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I'm going to talk about this topic, one chance. One chance, and we'll spend a little bit of time looking at this passage, talking about God and the Word of God today. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless us, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk, Lord, of Faith Baptist Church, Lord, and Pastor Angel, his pulpit, Lord. I pray that you'll bless us, Lord, to help us to learn something from your Word today and realize how short the time is, Lord. We love you and thank you. Bless us. Use me tonight. In your name, amen. You may be seated. Before we begin, I just real quickly want to say thank you to the church. Thank you to Pastor for allowing me to be here and to work with the young people and to work with the other areas of the church that I'm able to be a part in. It is truly a blessing. It's counted a blessing to me. I can't state how thankful I am. Today, this morning, I got to teach the teenagers, all the teenagers for Sunday school because of all the switcheroo that went on this morning. I was with all the teenagers upstairs in the Spanish auditorium, and a lot of the teenage teachers were up there. And I got to look out and see many of the same teachers that taught me when I was here, still there. And what a blessing that is. I just want to say to you Sunday school teachers, if you remember me being in your class, and according to the testimony of some of them, I was quite a memorable student, not always for the best reasons. But if you remember, I remember those lessons that you taught. I just want you to know that. I remember a lot of those lessons that you taught. And I'm looking out and I'm seeing a lot of folks that have I made a point when I graduated high school to mention the elementary teachers that I had in my life. Because so many times I heard high school graduates get up and give a speech and thank all their high school teachers. And I thought, yeah, but what about the elementary teachers? They dealt with the worst of it. They dealt with the worst of it. And I want to specifically mention you elementary teachers. And once again, a lot of them are still here, and that's such a blessing to me. And just you folks that were here in your seats, as a young person growing up in this church, I saw you here in your seats every Sunday. And that was a testimony to me. And it's encouraging. Even it's still a testimony to me to see you in your spots. I just want to say that before I begin. But we're in James chapter 4, and the verse that I'm focused on is verse number 14. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." What is your life? It is even a vapor. We've talked a lot. This has been a topic that's been on my mind and heart a lot recently. A lot of it has to do with the Countdown Prophecy series that we're in as a church. But just listening to the messages that have been preached from this pulpit and some other messages that I've just been able to hear in the last couple of weeks and months, I feel like this verse has come to my mind or been mentioned in a lot of sermons that I've heard recently. And it's just been a topic that I've been thinking about and the Lord's put on my heart. And as I look around on the world and see what the world's becoming, it's something that I think about even more. But there are a few things in this world, in this life, that make me realize how small we truly are. One of those things is the scope of the universe, the physical scope of the universe. I watched an incredible documentary by a Christian organization, a scientific Christian organization, called How Big Is God? Incredible. If you ever find it, I encourage you to watch it. It really just changed my outlook on a lot of things. But it talks about how big is God. And, of course, it starts with we can't scale how big God is. But we can say that he is bigger than. We can say that he is bigger than. And it starts out with the U.S. and zooms all the way out to the edge of the universe as we know it. And relays just how small we truly are. As people, the amount of space that we take up, we are tiny compared to just even the state of Texas. And the state of Texas is a huge state. In fact, the state of Texas, every person in the world, think about this, every person in the world could fit in the state of Texas and have a livable, a viable living space. I can't remember the exact square footage, but it wasn't a huge house. It wasn't as much as a normal house, but at least about as a normal apartment. Every person in the world could fit in the state of Texas and have their own living space. Every man, woman, child live in the state of Texas. But Texas is tiny compared to America, especially Alaska. The state of Texas, as huge as it is tiny compared to the rest of the country. And America is nothing compared to the rest of the world. And then it zoomed out and showed how the world is tiny compared to different planets like Jupiter, and how Jupiter is so minuscule compared to even just our sun. And then it showed that there are stars out there that are 1,000 times bigger than the sun in our galaxy. And then there are hundreds of thousands of galaxies like our galaxy. And the scope of the universe really helped me realize how truly small and, in my mind, insignificant I was and we are. But to think that when God looks down, he looks past the galaxies and he looks closer into ours. And then he looks into all the solar system and then he looks a little bit deeper into ours. And then he looks past our massive sun and looks past all the other amazing planets that we have and focuses on our planet. And then when he looks past that planet, he looks closer down to where I live and where my family lives. And he cares for my family. And then even then, there are times when he focuses in and I can feel that he's zoning in on me and he's speaking with me and he's spending time with me. Wow! What a thought. To think that the little speck that is this earth, of all that's out there and all the beauty that is outside of our planet and all that we don't even know about, that God loved this little speck called Earth and sent his son for it and died for it. There are a few things that help me realize the scope and how little I am. Another thing that helps me realize the tiny scope of my existence is the thought of eternity. Eternity. Eternity is something that's hard to talk about, it's impossible to even comprehend. With some illustrations, we were somewhat able to understand the scope of the universe, but still, it's impossible for us to wrap our mind around. But eternity is a totally different animal altogether. It's impossible for us to even grasp how long eternity is. Eternity is forever, and there is no end. I remember, as much as y'all can relate, I remember as a younger child thinking that I would never get to college. I remember as a young person looking at college students and being like, well, that'll never come for me. That's just too far away. I remember when the school year started and thinking that summer would never come because it was just too far away. But now I find that I'm done with school. I'm done with college. And as a younger person, especially being back where I grew up in the church that I grew up with, especially being back here, I've heard this phrase often, man, Brother Andrew, you're making me feel old. That's a phrase that I've heard a lot since I've come back here. And I look at my life and I feel as if I've lived a pretty full life. I feel as if I do. I can honestly say that. I feel like as if I lived a full life. And then I look around and I see that there are people that I'm surrounded by that are double and in some areas triple my age. And it's hard for me to comprehend how full of a life one can have. If I feel like I have a full life, how full must their lives feel? Those that are double and triple my life. I think of this individual, Jiro Mion Kimura, 115 years old. That's a long life. Talk about a full life. Dina Manfredini, 115. Jean Calmet, 122 years old. I'm 23 years old. 122 years old. When she was 90, she still had 30 more years left of her life. That's a long time. How full must their lives have felt? And then that's nothing compared to what we read in the Bible. This lady was 122. Noah worked on the ark for 120 years. Methuselah, 969. I can't even begin to comprehend that. Looking at this, I realize how little my time on earth truly is. And yet for those folks, those who live to be 100 and those who live to be 115 and 122, let alone even Methuselah, 969, their time on earth was just a speck in the scope of eternity. During this time in our church, we're learning about the end times prophecy, and these lessons are great and have encouraged me and convicted me and many of us to do something. But why does that topic convict us? Why does that topic stir our hearts? Because we realize that there will come a day, and soon there's coming a day, when we can no longer do something. With all that heaven will offer, there will be some things that we have but one chance to do. With all that heaven will allow, there will be some things that we only have one chance to do, and that's while we're on this earth. We have but one chance. We have but one chance. I want to talk about today, we have but one chance to tell other people about heaven. There's only one chance that we have. In Romans chapter 10, it says, How then shall I call on him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him on whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We understand and know that God wants preachers to stand in pulpits and preach that people must believe so they can be saved. We know and understand that. But as much as we understand that, we must also understand and recognize that God desires that his children, those who have already accepted him, go out and win other people to him as well. And the reason that Christ emphasizes this, and the reason that God looks on the fields and is teary-eyed as he sees that it's white ready to harvest, the reason that it's emphasized is because there will be a time when we can no longer do it. There will be a time when we can no longer do that. There is coming a time, and coming soon a time, that Christ will return, and we will be taken up with him. And we will never again have the chance to tell a sinner about Christ. We will never again have the chance to sit across the table from a coworker and explain to them that they need to accept Christ as their Savior in hopes for eternity. We will never have that chance to go to a door, open up our New Testament, and show someone that there is hope for their eternity. And that time is coming soon. If there's ever a time when we could say that time is coming soon, that time is now. There will be a time, the Bible says we should be looking for it, when we won't be able to sit down with our family member and maybe for the 4th, 5th, 6th, 10th, 20th time go through the gospel with them. Eventually that time will stop. We won't have a chance. We won't have another chance to go to our neighbor and share the gospel with him. I think of growing up right down the street over here, Robert Drive, just 2 minutes away from here. I grew up right next to a boy by the name of Garrett. And Garrett and I and my brother and a couple of other of us in the neighborhood, we played together all the time. All the time. Every day of the summer, we'd be playing together. We had the biggest yard in the neighborhood, so everybody came to our yard, and we didn't mind that. And we'd play kickball, we'd play wiffle ball, we'd play soccer, we'd play whatever, monster ball. I'll have to explain the rules to that later. We played all the time growing up. He was my age. We played together constantly. And I had no problem talking with him and chatting about him. But when it came to church, when it came to my faith, when it came to God, I was shy. I was nervous. I was anxious about talking about it. And there were time where he'd even ask me a question. Why do you guys go all the time? What do you guys believe? There were times when he'd even ask me a question, but sad to say, I never even mustered up the courage to even talk to him about eternity one time. I wanted to so bad. There would be times when I'd be sitting in my room, usually around VBS time, when I'd be sitting in my room, and I'd think, man, I've got to go talk to Garrett. I've got to at least invite him to church. I've got to go over and talk to him. But unfortunately, I never did. I don't know where Garrett is now, but I know that not a good amount of time goes by in my life where I don't think of Garrett. I don't think about the opportunity that I missed. I believe that some of our tears in heaven will be wiped away from our eyes. As mentioned in Revelation 21, I think that some of those tears will be from the people that we could have witnessed to that we missed. The people that we could have had an impact on. The people that we could have shared the gospel with, but we missed our one chance. We have one chance to tell other folks about eternity. Think about it this way. Soul winning is a wonderful action. Anybody that's gone out soul winning, anybody that's won a soul, can tell you that it's one of the most fulfilling feelings in the Christian life, in any life. I remember the first time I led someone to the Lord, how the joy of the Lord just filled my heart. I remember the first time I led an adult at the door to the Lord. And she, as a teenager, I spoke to her and tears were falling down her eyes. And she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And nothing else excites you more than when you're able to lead someone to the Lord. Nothing else pumps you up. Nothing else gets you fired up for the Lord more than sharing the gospel with someone and seeing them accept Christ as their Savior. Amen. But someday we're not going to have that chance. In heaven, everyone's going to be saved. And that's a great thing. But we have a chance, a unique opportunity in this little time on earth to open up a Bible and show someone how they can go to heaven. What a great thing. What an awesome thing. What a thing that is a joy to do. What a thing that we all love to do. What a thing that is so emphasized by the Lord. We have one chance to do that. Eternity is a long time. And I hate to think that as I spend all of my eternity, there I'm going to spend all of that time thinking about some folks that I could have witnessed to, but missed. But we have a chance. We have one chance on earth to tell folks about heaven. Hey, we have one chance to help our local church. One chance. Look at James chapter 4. It says in verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. Right before this is our text verse where it talks about our life being short, just a vapor. We have one chance to do good when it comes to our local church. And praise the Lord, when we're in heaven, the bride of Christ, which is the church, will be there. We'll all be there. And we'll be singing and we'll be praising and we'll be worshiping with God. But there won't be a Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois, in heaven, which we can dedicate our efforts to helping. This is a great church. And it's been a great church. And Christ loves the church so much that he gave himself for it, as we see in Ephesians. What an incredible opportunity we have to take this little, tiny bit of time that we have on this planet and to spend it helping, acting, and participating in the church that Christ gave himself for. We know that Christ loves the church. That's very evident. We know that Christ gave himself for the church. And Christ loves this church. Christ loves the local church so much. And he gives us a small little time of our existence to spend helping the local church. This is the only chance that we're going to get. In all of eternity, our time on earth is the only chance that we're going to have to teach a Sunday school class. Of all of eternity, this little time on earth is the only chance that we're going to get to put John and Romans together. This is the only chance that we're going to get to bake cookies for Dwight football camp. This little speck of our existence, a small little time on earth, is the only chance that we're going to have to play in the orchestra or sing in FBA's choir, to help with VBS, to help with the young people. We're going to have eternity. But this is the little bit of time that we get to do something special and unique and actively helping the church that God gave himself for. This is our only chance to use our talents for the Lord through the local church. Think about it. When we get to heaven, we won't have an opportunity to give to missions anymore. When we get to heaven, there won't be that opportunity to sacrificially give of our income to a need that someone has. That time will be up. That time won't be longer. No one's going to have needs that we can fulfill in heaven. God's going to take care of it all. But now we have an opportunity. We have a small chance to help our local church, to help our brothers and sisters. And when I look at it from that perspective, I see these acts of more of an I get to than I have to. When we think about the fact that in eternity, we're not going to be able to help on a bus route. We're not going to be able to show Christ how we love little boys and little girls in that special, unique way by helping a bus route. We're not going to have that opportunity in eternity. It becomes more of an I get to do this than I have to do this. What if our next Sunday school class is our last one? What if the next time you pick up those kids on the bus, that's the last time that you pick them up? What if the next special that you sing is the last one sung in this church? How important it is that we not only do what we can while we're here, but we do it for him. I'd hate to think that this is the last time that anyone ever preaches in this church and I did it in my own strength. I hate to think that thought. I hate to think that the next time I go out zoning, I knock on the doors, that's the last time that God's going to allow me to do it, and I'm not going to do it in his strength. How important it is that not only we get involved and the local church and our church, but that we do it for Him. Like I mentioned, we have one chance to help our brothers and sisters. Miss Britt's not going to need a bunch of people providing meals for her in heaven. But we have a special opportunity to be a blessing on this earth to our brothers and sisters. What an opportunity. We also have one chance to say no to Satan. We have one chance to say no to Satan. In that same chapter, James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." The amount of joy and pleasure that God gets when we resist the devil is overwhelming. There's nothing, as a new father, as a father of a little, just about 5-month-old baby, I understand the joy that you get as a parent when the child does something right. At this stage, with just a baby, I don't know if she's technically an infant, I don't know the terminology, but I know she's a baby. As a baby, we're praising her for the littlest of things. When she wakes up and she doesn't scream right away, we're in there, we're clapping, we're cheering. When she finishes her bottle and doesn't freak out right away, we're giving her a high five. We're excited when she does what she's supposed to do. And how joyous does it make God when we resist the devil and do what we're supposed to do? How joyous does it make the Lord when we say, "No, I'm going to stand up for Him"? How special, how happy that makes us, how happy that makes Him. And I understand that serving God and living right is our reasonable duty. But I believe that as a father and as our dad, He enjoys watching us stand up for right. He enjoys seeing us resist the devil and fight the battles that we face and choose Him over our flesh. God recognized when Noah stood. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God saw when little David stood against Goliath. He recognized that. I believe that God was overjoyed when the three Hebrew young men didn't bow their knee to Baal. I think God must have been pleased when Esther stared death in the eyes and still chose to obey Him and do what she knew was right. God loves when we say no to Satan. God loves it. And this time on earth is the only time we have to do that. When we get to heaven, and what a great thing this will be, but when we get to heaven, we won't get to say no to the devil. We won't get to resist him. We won't get to stand up for what God believes. We won't get to stand against the grain and do what God wants us to do. And as joyous as that is, as joyous as it is to think that in heaven we won't have to face those battles, as joyous as that is, we can also realize that we have a special opportunity in this little time in our lives here on earth to stand against sin. While we're here for this short amount of time, for this vapor, we have a chance to please God and say no. One day we won't get to make a stand for creation. One day we won't be able to say no to the world's ideology. One day we won't have the chance to stand for Christ when His name is being ridiculed and mocked and uttered vainly. One day we won't have the opportunity to stand when our coworkers aren't mocking God or His book or His church. Trust me, I got to do that all the time at my workplace. It's a struggle. No, I plead. One day it'll all be over. And what a glorious day. Don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to that day. But one day we won't have the chance for God to look down and be proud of us for rejecting the devil and saying no to sin. We have one chance to say no to the devil. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, in verse 19. Our lives are busy. As you're turning there, our lives are busy. I understand that. We have so much to do. We have so much to think about, and we have so much to arrange. And I just hope that may our lives not get so cluttered up with the things of this life that we lose sight on eternity. I'm going to get an illustration out real quickly here. Brother Allen, would you help me out, brother? Do you mind taking the other edge of this and just walking to the back double doors back there? Let's take a look at this rope. Brother Allen gets it all the way back there. Brother Griffin told me it was long enough. I think it is. It's a long rope. That's good, Brother Allen. Thank you. It's a long rope. As we look at this rope, I want you to look at the, if you can see it, if you can imagine it from where you're sitting, as it spans all the way up here where Brother Allen is. This is just a speck on eternity. Just imagine this is the beginning of eternity, and as we go all the way back, that's eternity. And this little portion right here is our life on earth. It's just a speck. It's just a little fraction. Compared to the scope of eternity, this little part right here is nothing. But on this portion right here, we dictate how we're going to spend the rest of eternity. This little portion right here, what we decide to do with this portion of our lives dictates the treasures that we have for the rest of the rope. And we can imagine eternity doesn't just end at the back doors. It can keep going across to the school building, across to the dusty mess over there, across to the retention pod, keep going and going and going. All of that is dictated by what we choose to do with this little part right here. Thank you, Brother Allen. Verse number 19, here's the message. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Whatever we choose to do in this tiny bit of our existence will affect how we get to enjoy the rest of eternity. As busy as life gets, and it gets busy. Once again, as a new parent, I'm finding that out more and more. As busy as life gets, and I know it gets busy. I know it gets busy. I understand that. But as busy as life gets, don't miss out on eternity. Don't miss out on what eternity is and what we can do to affect our eternity. Don't miss out on the one chance we have, that little part of our existence, that little part of our life that God chooses to allow us to be on earth. Don't miss out on using that so we can glorify God. I said it to the teen church this morning upstairs. I reminded them, our existence on this planet is to glorify God. Our reason that we are here, that we are created here and placed here, is to glorify Him. Amen. And we get a little opportunity to do that in a special way. We'll get to sing praises to Him in heaven. We'll get to bow down and throw crowns at His feet in heaven. We'll get to enjoy all that He's preparing for us now once we get there. But down here is where we get to open up a Bible and tell someone about heaven. Down here is when we get to come to church and participate in what the church does. Down here is where we get to say no to the devil, say no to the flesh. That's down here. And in this little time in our life, that's this little time of our eternity, of our existence that's spent here on earth, we get to please God in a special way. I mentioned earlier, I don't remember everything, I'm not going to lie, but I remember a lot of what was taught to me in Sunday school, or a good amount, I should say. But I remember Brother Nemeth saying to us, what was it, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, if I remember correctly. He would say this all the time, and as a young person, it kind of shocked me. He'd say, you don't know when your time's going to be up. You could be heading home today, you could get hit by a car, and your time would be over. And as a young person, I'd be like, whoa, okay, all right. All right, yeah, thank you. Have a good Sunday to you, too. But you know what? I never forgot that. I never forgot that. And I think about that often. I don't know when my time is up. I'd like for it not to end in a car wreck. I'd like for it to end with Jesus Christ coming down, as we know He's going too soon. But either way, say I live to be 85. Say I live to be 122. That'll still be just a speck of my eternal existence. I want to make sure that I use this one chance to honor and to please Him. Nathan Hale, we all know the quote, I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. Is this our attitude towards pleasing God here on earth? How nice it would be to think that God would allow us to live another life on earth for Him and to please Him another time, but we don't. We get but one chance. If there was ever a statement that affected my teenage years, it was this by Dennis Corll. Live your life in such a way that when you are about to die, it is all you have left to do. Live your life in such a way that when you're about to die, it is all you have left to do. I want to make sure that I use my only chance here on this earth to do all I can so that when it's time for God to take me home, I've got nothing left to do. Amen. We have but one chance. We have one chance before eternity begins. Let's take advantage of it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you can honestly say, I know I'm saved. I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. Just to share your testimony in a small way, raise your hand. Say, I know 100% for sure that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm thankful for that. Raise your hand. You can put your hands down. We talked about eternity. But I'd hate to think, and I know who's in the crowd tonight, but I'd hate to think that as we talk about eternity, that someone wouldn't take the one chance that they have here on earth to make sure that their eternity is spent in heaven. You only get one chance to do that too. If you're honest and would say, I don't know if I died that I would go to heaven, but I'd like to know, please pray for me. Just raise your hand. We'll pray for you. If you need to make a decision regarding baptism or salvation, or God spoke to your heart throughout the message, you can come to the altar as the piano plays.
To do business at the altar, I encourage you to come. So many different ways the Lord might have spoken to your heart tonight. One chance, one life. If God spoke to your heart, I encourage you to come and do business with the Lord. Spend some time at the altar. We have one chance to tell others how they can go to heaven, how they can accept Christ. Maybe the Lord brought somebody to your mind tonight that you need to witness to. Maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a coworker. I encourage you to talk to the Lord about that tonight. One chance to help out the local church. Maybe the Lord brought to your mind a way that you could get involved, participate, help out in the local church here. What decision does God want you to make tonight? Maybe there's an area where you've been struggling saying no to Satan. Now's our chance. One chance to say no to Satan. Up this way. Brother Andrew, thank you so much for the message tonight. What a good message for us. What a good challenge. And as Brother Andrew was preaching and he told the story about Garrett, the Lord brought somebody to my mind. You know, if we're honest, all of us have a Garrett. All of us have somebody that we haven't told yet. And maybe the Lord brought somebody to your mind tonight that you haven't talked to about eternity, haven't witnessed to. And maybe you're still in contact with that person. I want to encourage you, however the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, let's do something about it. That was a really good message. That was a blessing. Many different good applications there. And so praise the Lord. Brother Andrew, once again, thank you for the good message tonight.